Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome. Sorry, I had a slight technical difficulty in the beginning of the show. Welcome to Hometown Heroes. Every Monday, we highlight individuals and organizations that step up, that do things for others, and do things selfishly to make the world they live in a better place, but they also do things to better humanity in a general. On today's episode of Hometown Heroes and on Wednesday's show, we are going to highlight one individual who has been recognized, in my eyes, as one of the original first Hometown Heroes. One man who has been recognized throughout the world by all faiths as existing and recognized in a shroud of mystery. And the man is Jesus Christ. You know, when you start going through all these ancient texts and you look at all this stuff, there's not a lot on him. And you get all these people saying, well, maybe he didn't exist because there's not a lot of stuff on him throughout the years growing up. But before he became who he was a person, just like us, born, lived, and died. The only difference is he came back. He wasn't born of royalty or nobility. He was just a regular person. And because of that, there aren't a lot of things that tracked his life. So, as we start the show today, we're going to talk about, today is all about him and the things he did and different historical writings about him besides the Bible. Different Roman texts, different people who wrote from stories that knew him. And we're going to talk about him as a person. And on Wednesday, we'll talk about the faith and the start of Christianity and all the other stuff and highlight the after effects. So before I start, let's open up the lines to see what anyone has to say.
Mary, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. I remember when I was a child, I remember my grandmama would tell me about Jesus. And I did a little research on it. And you're right. He came in this earth of not riches. His main objective was to save souls. And a lot of people, he did a lot of miracles. He touched people. Even in his own place, he was not accepted. He had to move around. He had to leave his place because God had, his father had something bigger and better for him. When I say that, sometimes when you're around certain community, and you know that how powerful Jesus was, Jesus knew he had intuition from his Father, knew that there were certain places that he couldn't go around. It's not to say that he did not want to touch people. It was because of the fact that his anointing was so strong on his life that everybody wanted just miracles from him. Give me, give me, give me. And he was showing people in the terms of what we see manifesting. And he was showing people to forgive. And his greatest gift that he gave was his life, his love, and his unconditional. And I haven't reached that epitome of who Jesus is because I do hold grudges sometimes. But when I go back and think about what my grandma used to say, if you don't remember anything else about Jesus, just remember his godly love of humanity, of people, souls. And a lot of people was kind of hesitant around Jesus because of who he was, his anointing on him. And a lot of, even his disciples that was around him didn't believe him. Jesus said, I've shown you everything, but you still don't believe in what I am and who I am and where I came from. And it's just like us today. We can come around people and show them so much of the goodness of us. And sometimes people look at doubt, confusion. And Jesus, he didn't stay stuck on what humans think because he was spiritual. He still accepted people for who they are, but he made changes, spiritual changes, humanity changes. His words was very clear, and it was love, godly love. And a lot of us, I'm going to use myself, a lot of us look at the world totally different the way the world is going now. There's a lot of selfishness in the world. There are a lot of hate in the world. Even in his time, there was a lot of hate and separation of religion, separation of greed, and separation of nationality. But he was saying, we come from one God and one God only. I am no different than the other person. From anything that he did, he made a clear understanding, a metaphor of what he did to make even people who didn't understand what he was saying. He made it very clear. And he used words, love. Love your enemy. Love your neighbor. Love the people who hurt you. Love the people who crucify you. And the most audible test that he gave is a century of 21st century of who he is, of his love and his commandment from his Father. And even though sometimes we go to church on Easter and we want to look a certain way and we want to do things, but your foundation starts with the love that you do for your community. And then you take it to humanity. There's a lot of hurt people in the world, confused and doubt. There's a lot of things that could be changed. And there's a lot of things that people refuse to change because of power and whatever their reason is. But I'm going to stay here with Jesus. Everything that he did 2,000 years represent what's going on in the world right now. And when we read our Bible and we go to school and we go to Sunday school, is that instored into us now? It was instored with love. His love was like unconditional. And I didn't learn anything else from my grandmama. I learned that a man that came to this earth to electrify the world, to change. He said, I didn't come to change the world. I came to change people's way of thinking. And your way of thinking means that you have to see things in a dimensional way. You can't always see things. A glass is not halfway full until you look and until you fill that glass up. Everything changed every split of a minute. What I feel today and what I felt 2 hours ago is totally different than what I feel now. So he's Hello. Telling you.
Hello.
Hi, Derek.
Who's this?
Mary.
Mary, you talking to Jordan?
All right, hang on, Derek. Someone else was talking. Wait till he's done, and then you can go. Go ahead and finish, please, because I love what you're saying.
So you know, is this when we see, you know, my children now see the world. I remember my more creativity comes from me being a child. So sometimes I go outside and I remember when I was innocent. I remember I was not caught up in the society, the world, and all of that. God said you have to come to him as a child mind. You're innocent, not caught up in the political, not caught up in all the restitution in the world. You have to see things with love and compassion. And this is what I like about Hope. I listen when I can. Hope utilizes the teaching of what God is and teaching of what Jesus is to help people all over the world. It's not to put people down. It's not to belittle anyone. It's saying, everyone, we love you. And love is a very strong word when people say in love. I've been around people, when I say I love them, they're like, I'm going to take advantage of you. But the love that Hope has shown me to make me allow me to take that gift that what God gave and stored into the founder of the people who started Hope is to give people my time, to give them my compassion, to help people. And this is why I listen to this program, and this is why I come when I can, because it's building a foundation for me. And that foundation, I don't care what religion you is, it is love. And that's all I want to say on that on that topic, because I know a lot of other people want to say something. But to me, it is love. Jesus gave love.
Joseph, I jump in right there and agree with you, because God says that I am that I am that I am. I am the truth. I am the light. And I am love. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So even way back, like I said, before there was anybody there to acknowledge that he was God. He was God before anybody knew he was God. He says, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But when Joseph, when you said he spoke in a lot of metaphors, because we already know that our thoughts are so far away from God's thoughts, as far as from heaven to earth, it says in the Bible. So he had to come from the Spirit, which we all are, and come back as a man child. He came back into this world as a baby. So that we could relate to the Spirit inside of him. He wanted to be able to feel what we was feeling. God is never sleep. They said he never sleeps and he never slumbers. But if he remained in the Spirit, then we wouldn't be able to relate to him in a man's state of mind. So when he came back as a baby child, born as a lamb in a manger, the Lamb of God, where else would he be born at? But see, in the process of coming back, he wanted to be able to, for us to be able to understand what it feels like to be tired, what it feels like to be sleepy, what it feels like to be hungry, what it feels like to be hot walking in the sun. All these things, it would have been so far beyond our comprehension that he had to come back as a man child, walk amongst us, talk amongst us. I used to love it when my grandmama too, Joseph, said he will walk with you and he will talk with you. And then the crazy part about it, when they start talking about his mercy and his grace, if he would have put it in a form to where the rich could be closer to him than me, if he would have put it in a form, a shape, a fashion that the people that had all the education, I love it when they tell me, country boy, I spent 12 years of my life in college. I have 7 different degrees. But my grandmama says, well, baby, you'll be a very intelligent man, but I want you to understand that your education and your diplomas and your degrees and your certificates and your plaques and your trophies is not going to get you no front row seat, no box seat in heaven. So God had to really break it down to humanity to where everybody, I mean, he says, I'll even make the rocks cry out. the things about this God that we love, that he says he's love, he's put it down to where no one can fail when it comes to his love, because he says, I'm going to place love inside of all you. My grandmama was one of her favorite sayings, baby, when I said he's the truth and the light. She says, baby, you let your little light shine. Don't worry about Joseph's light. He come from a different part of the world, different time zone, different culture. You let your little light shine, and when you let your little light shine, do unto others, show people love. When you let your little light shine, it unconsciously allows other people to do the same. Before there was a Moses and a Joseph and a Peter and a Paul, I was real baffled when I was young when they told me God wasn't a writer, he was God. God didn't write the Bible. So that's what Mary was alluding to. Let's talk about God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, before there was a Bible to read. Right. He said, I'm going to break it down and keep it really simple. There's five levels of intelligence. The first level of intelligence is smart. The second level of intelligence is intelligent. The third level of intelligence is brilliant. The fourth level of intelligence is genius. He says the fifth level of intelligence, so that nobody flunks a test. I'm going to keep it simple. Really, really, really. Did I say enough? Really simple.
Yeah, you said it.
So I want you to treat other people, other men, other women, other boys. I want you to show them the same compassion, the same love that I've shown you. So when Joseph said he speaks in metaphors, I don't care what part of the world you're in. And then Mary mentioned institutions. We don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. We don't care what your denomination belief is. Those are just institutions for you to get a better understanding who you say this God that you serve is. What do you call him? I call him the divine creator. You can call him Yahweh. A thousand names won't even be enough, but as long as you call him. And the last one I'll say, that again, God says, I am love. And love is not really love until one gives. Did y'all hear that word? Until he gives. Mm-hmm. I gave you my only begotten son, and that wasn't enough. I'm going to come here. I'm going to die so that one can live. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but just as a safety measure, I'm going to die for the sins that you ain't even done yet. That's how great this Lord of Lords and this King of Kings is, because he already knew, as a fleshly, walking, talking, breathing, sinful human, that we was going to mess up. Oh, I forgot to tell you, ye without sin cast the first stone. So he's got his mercy and his grace. He's got enough in his palm to cover the whole human race. So just do what our God. I used to get last one more time, Eric. I got real tickled when they spent $13 billion, that's what it be, dollars in an international campaign. And that was kind of funny to me. What would Jesus do? Where y'all been? He's already done everything he said he was going to do. What the question is now is, what are we going to do? Are we going to love our brother man, our sister man, with compassion? We're going to love them unconditionally,
yes,
which says, I love you just the way
you are.
Do unto others before they do unto you.
Amen.
Because when you give love, hope, and compassion that the God gave us to us, eventually that love and compassion that you give to others will eventually come right back to you. Back to you, Mary.
You know, y'all brought up some great points. And the one thing we always talk about is him being a pacifist. Him talking about peace, talking about, you know, doing unto others. The one part of him that we don't talk about is the fact this man had a temper, and he stood up for what he believed in, and he stirred and caused a whole lot of trouble in the process. And like this show, I want to make sure you guys have the power and believe in yourselves enough that you're willing to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. When you hear someone being talked about badly or something going on that doesn't follow with what you believe in, that you have the power to say, no, that's not right, and not just stand there and allow it to happen. Because as you follow through some of the teachings, he turned tables over. He destroyed, in a fit of rage, temples because they weren't doing what he believed was appropriate for the belief. He stood up and talked all the time about what he believed in, and in his heart he knew what was right, even though it went against the social norms. It went against laws, which ultimately led to his death because he created such a stir. Now, my question is, if this man, for you all to think about here over the next couple days and next week and we go into Easter, is if this man didn't do everything that he said he didn't do, or did, if he would have just been a man talking and was not ended the way he did, what would life be like to this day? Would we have the Christian faith? What would we be like right now if things didn't happen the way that they happened? Because the Christianity faith is based off of his teachings, was named after him. Wow, got really quiet. You know, the one thing when I was doing this research all weekend, trying to find evidence, trying to find all this stuff, the big thing that pointed out to me was that he was an ordinary man.
Amen.
And so there wasn't a lot of history on him. And that taught me one thing. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you came from the streets, cardboard box in that corner, or from a mansion. It doesn't matter. You have a voice. You project it out there. You follow what you believe. You practice what you believe. And you stand up for others and tell your story, the good, the bad, the ugly. You can make a difference. You don't need all this money, all this marketing, all this stuff to make a change in the world, to make an impact. You being you and following what you believe in and doing what's right will give you the voice to give that legacy to last God knows how long. I mean, literally. I mean, we're following a man from 2,000 years ago.
In any true story, whether it's true today or true forever in the past or in the future, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's truth all the way deep. If it's a true story, that's what a parable is.
Right.
Sort of.
And then, Mary, the great part too about that is when you say tell your story, you heard me say let your little light shine. God has really saved all of us. But he took us out of eternity and placed us in time, and what we do with this time here on earth depends on how we spend our eternity. And again, it ain't got nothing to do with where you're from, what your education is, but I do remember it saying one must, not maybe, it's not even optional, one must believe. So whether your belief is on an elementary level or you have a master degree, my grandmother had a sixth grade education, but she had a master degree in faith. And we talked about that earlier, that regardless on what denomination, religion you worship, If you believe that he died, whatever you call him, was buried and resurrected, then you believe in God. You can call him Allah. You can call him Yahweh. Call him a pond. Call him a lake. Call him a river. Call him rain. You can call him what you want to. He's
Amen.
Still the sustainer
Amen.
Of life.
Amen.
He's water. And then what happens
Amen.
In the process is when he said, I can save anybody.
Amen.
I love it when he can take our weaknesses and make us strong. He can take where we messed up and make it right. They say, oh, and he's not operating off of our time. He's operating off of eternity, which is inevitable, which is you can't put a time on what God has really done. I used to just now be baffled when you say one day to us human breathing creatures is like 1,000 years to God. And I just love it when they said omnipotent. That means he's everywhere, everywhere, everywhere at the same time. Now, do y'all know any earthly human walking, talking, breathing, anything that has the power to fix what happened to you 30 years ago? He can correct and fix your path. Well, they say we're living for today and we're not promised tomorrow. So do you realize that we're serving a God that is in control of your next breath, what you call reality? You blink and then open your eyes, and what you thought you saw 3 seconds ago no longer existed, which is your now, your present. But look, if you fast forward to tape and look into tomorrow, like us visionarians are doing, guess what? We don't know what's happened tomorrow, going to happen tomorrow, but God is the only one that has the control of your tomorrow who hasn't even gotten here yet. So when I love it when they said he's omnipotent, we're going to call God in on special things when they said he may not show up when you want him, but every single time tragedy comes, he's always, we shout out. Oh, I was reading in that little book. They said if they'll turn their hearts towards me, I'll come back and heal their land. I'll heal their coronavirus. And then I don't like to go back, but just let me give you one little quick example. Y'all remember that play, that day that came, they call it 9-1-1. Yeah, y'all remember when it hit? Everybody started saying, today at noon. We have our hope show, by the way, every day at noon if you're Eastern Coasting time. But when our business partner, Lynn Kane, Top Gun, Humanitarian Man of the Year, tunes in California, he's like 3 or 4 hours behind our time. So when we start talking about, they said today at noon, we want everybody, that means all inclusive, to take a moment of silence and pray. That's when tragedy came. A moment of silence and pray. They didn't tell you that you had to stand up and pledge your heart to no flag. Nobody told you that you had to bow your head and close your eyes. No one told you that you had to be able to speak the prayer in tongues. They said, we want everybody. All knees shall bow. All tongues shall confess. I am the Lord of lords, and I am the King of kings, and you better recognize. So when we call God down in these crisis situations, he just wanted me to remind you, like the guy that got hurt at the football game, and everybody says, wait, 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 time out, time out. We're going to take a moment of silence and pray that this guy is going to be all right. We want God to come. What do you mean you want God to come? He's already there. He just wanted you to stand up and recognize that I am the God of God and the King of kings. And wherever you are, so am I also. Thank you, Mary.
You know, I want to talk briefly about history and about passages in history, actual documented letters and in the history books and conversations that state and prove this man actually existed. Because we're talking about him as a man. So, and I'm going to butcher these names, which y'all know now. Just, I am not the best with certain pronunciations. But, you know, one of them that they deem the most important is from a historian, Edwin Yamachi. And it's talking about a report from Emperor Nero in the decision to blame Christians for the fire that had destroyed Rome in 64 AD. And it was Tacitus, and he wrote, "Nero fastened the guilt on a class for their abominations called Christians for the populace. Christus, from whom the name of its origin suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius. Thank you. At the hands of Pontius Pilate, and the most mischievous superstition thus checked for the moment, again broke out, not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even in Rome." And it talks, and what they're talking about is that extreme penalty being death. And what they deemed him signing up for what he believes in, they shut him up for it. And then we have more evidence coming from the Roman governor in Asia Minor, and his letter was dated in 112 AD. He asked for advice about the appropriate way to conduct legal proceedings against those accused of being a Christian. And he needed to consult the emperor. Excuse me one second. Here you go. So, sorry, my son needed help with something. He is childlike. We'll start there. So, I'm going to change that for a quick second. My husband, his dad, made a comment to him the other day because he likes to whine, and he decided he was going to try to outsmart the smart, and it backfired because he told David, my little one, that, you know, he's not literally seven, but that only girls whine. So he was trying to be smart towards me. So David turned around, went in his sister's closet, found the prettiest, frilliest dress she owned, put it on, came racing through the house, whining in a high-pitched voice. I'm laughing. I thought it was hilarious. I looked at him and I go, "Now you understand why I tell you careful what your words say. He will find a way to mess with you."
Here goes a 10-second insertion. They used to tell me, because I was a little one and I had seven bigger brothers, and I'd go crying to my grandmama when they called me out of my name. She said, "If they didn't call you by your name, why are you crying? What is your name?" I said, "What'd they call you, Big Head?" She says, "Then they wasn't talking to you." And then they always dumped this thing on me, "Big boys don't cry." And then I went to my grandmama and told her what they told me. And she says, "Look, the only thing that really makes us different from all the other creatures in the world is God gave us something called feelings. Emotions and feelings." She said, "Man or woman, we're equal in essence, we're just different in function. So there is no gender when it comes to man. Whether you're a woman or a man, it has no gender." He says, "When you get to the point to where your emotional feeling meter doesn't go off and you have no feelings that will make you cry, then you're part of the walking dead. So don't believe that big boys don't cry, because if you ever get your feeling meter touched just right, he gave you them tear jocks to keep you from exploding inside." And I never got the answer to this one, but she said, "It's okay for you to cry, baby, because when you cry, God will catch those tears and put them in a bottle." I used to wonder what he's going to do with them, but she told me, man or woman, that if you're not... if you have not been infiltrated with a feeling meter, that we will blow up and die. And God gave us that tear duct, so that we wouldn't explode up inside from the things that we were actually feeling. All right.
Yeah, no, it's not crying he does, he whines. Dad told him, you know, only babies sit and whine. So he would be a baby and whine. And it's literally just a whine. It's not crying. He's not upset. He just wants to be a little turd and mess with Dad. He likes to mess with your head because he thinks it's fun. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the teenage years when he's actually really able to screw with you. My life is never dull.
You said something, Mary.
Yes, sir.
You said something that really dawned on me. When Jesus, you're right, Jesus was nothing. He wasn't, he came to challenge a lot of things. You're right. He came to challenge, even he challenged his own religion, his own spiritual of being Jewish. And a lot of them did not like that Jesus, he took the same thing and he broke it down to them to let them understanding that it was not wrong for your teaching. It was wrong the way you was doing your own people and condoning to hurt your own people to allow Romans to do what they wanted to do. He was letting you know you was already free. He was telling folks, don't get caught up so much into the religion, because some people can get stuck. Even Hitler was stuck on religion. But Hitler was a killer. And he thought in his own eyes, and Romans thought in their own, and even Jews thought in their own eyes. And they're the one that had Jesus set up through the Romans because of the fact that they didn't believe in the teaching that he was teaching them was the same typical teaching that they were teaching. What he did, he said, I came to enhance the teaching. I didn't come to change the spiritual law. I made you open your mind to free people from imprisonment. Not separate religion, not separate people from the Jews that festized in the Romans. We all the same. And then some, and to this day, the 21st century, we sometimes we think because we have a class of authority, and that went on in biblical times, that we are more better than another race and better than another person because we have a relationship with God. No, a lot of people, and I'm not trying to question people's belief, a lot of people, when you choose to walk in that belief in God, there's no separation. There's no hate. There's no killing. There's allow people to be people. Whatever your opinion is, he's teaching you that accept people for who they are. My son had long hair, just like his father. And the abuse that he got, and the abuse that I got as a child, and I was protecting my son. My son tried to commit suicide because he couldn't fit in. He was the kids would say he's too pretty to be a boy, and the girls love him, but the guys hated him because he attracted a lot of light, a lot of people who really cared about him. But I told my son, don't get confused with the hate, because that's what they want you to do. You don't have to prove who you are as a spiritual being, as a person, to fit in anywhere where you don't belong. You just still be true to yourself, and that's what Jesus was. Jesus was true to his Father. He knew he didn't come on this earth. He knew he was going to die. Let's keep it real. He knew any leader, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, when you know that God had prepared you for that task, you know you have to give up to change the world. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came and changed not only people thinking, people hate, people religion. He challenged you. He challenged you. And that's what Jesus did. He challenged you. He challenged you. And like that young man that said on the phone, it is your story of your separation from yourself and getting caught up in the world of what people think you should be. It is you as an individual to be happy and content with yourself. The world is so much, I've got to be this person. I got to make this much money. I got to do this. I got to be with the Joneses. I got to live here. I got to have this car. It's nothing wrong with material. Like he told the Romans, he told one of the guys, he said, honor what is Rome is Rome. Caesar, what is Caesar? Honor what is God is God. He didn't say come and say don't work. He didn't say don't pay taxes. He said everything have its proper places. Even good and bad have their proper places. He didn't come to destroy the world. He didn't come to destroy people thinking of their own belief. He came to enhance and make people look at it in a different. So what he did, he came and changed the concept of what we think now, that because we go to church every Sunday, and I'm not putting nobody down, or we give money to a charity. He said, it is your heart. It is your heart to see another person suffering. It is your heart to care about a child being abused. It is your heart to see people sleeping on the street. It is your heart. It is your heart. It is your heart to change the world. What you feel and what you think about humanity, because humanity is a big word, man. It ain't so easy. When you get out there, you're not going to have people that are going to like you. I have people give me death pain because of my belief in what I believe in. Or do you really have the heart to become that person? When people say, oh, I want to change the world. No, it's not that easy. It's not that easy because you're not going to have friends. You're going to have haters. You're going to have people that dislike what you do. You're going to have people throw threats at you because you have that gift. And that gift is your story to see the world totally different. This is like a musician. A musician, when they write a song, they see the world differently. But they are aware of their misbelief in the world. They are aware of the anger and the hate and the prejudice of the world. So when they write that song, is it their story to show people, to elevate people, to give people hope? And that's what Jesus did. He gave you hope. He gave you understand clearly who you are as God's child. He gave you clearly understand you are your brother keeper. He gave you, he didn't say the Jews, the Romans, the Italians. He said we all are one from the divine. And that's what, this is what it is. When Mary said her little boy, when his father said, little boys don't whine. No, a man should never tell his child that he should not whine. He should tell him you should express who you are. Express how you feel. We're so caught up in what we think a young boy should grow up to be or what this person should be. I'm saying to myself, well, my son wanted to commit suicide because he did not want to be who he was in the world. He was ashamed of what people thought he looked like. He was ashamed of people calling him out his name. And they wouldn't call him a nice name. They would call him every gay, malicious thing they can call him. And my son just being himself. And I saw all that hate. My son went to a private school. I see more hate in the private school than I saw in the public school for him being himself. So when people say, oh, I live here and I live there, hate comes from everywhere. Doesn't make no difference. I'm in Buckhead or I'm on the West Side. Or I'm in Chicago or I'm in New York or I'm all over the world. Hate comes from people's thought of lack of the truth of who they are and what they should allow people to be as themselves. Hate comes from I'm thinking I'm better than you. Jesus didn't come into all that. Jesus came and challenged a lot of things. Even people who didn't want to, people really wanted to hurt him. Even in his own disciples, they disagreed with him on a lot of things. This is like every lead, even a man going to the military, a woman going to the military. A lot of people didn't give people, when my uncle was in Vietnam, came back, they spit it on him. They looked at him as a child killer. They looked at him as going over there killing. And his purpose was to go over there and make the freedom for us. But people didn't look at it like that. People look at it that you were tortured, you were killing folks. They didn't look at the whole facts of what my uncle had to go through mentally. Didn't get his money when he got here. He got on drugs. He did a lot of things that he should have got that he didn't get it, but he didn't sit around and feel sorry for himself because he made a difference. This is what life is, people making a difference, the smallest things. Their name don't have to be on no plaque. Their name don't have to be. And for the people who named that made a different name is on a plaque. That's beautiful. For the people who named are not in the cemetery where the militaries are buried at or buried in some of the honorable places, they made a difference. You understand what I'm saying here?
I completely agree with you. And the follow-up I have to that is, you know, in my eyes, it's one of the most abused and misused quotes that he says. And that is, do not judge or you will be judged.
Yep.
Many use this to quiet the critics, to say, you know what, you're supposed to just shut up and accept everything. You're not supposed to think for yourself. When you look, go ahead.
Okay. It's Bob. It's just a lot of things coming into my mind as you all are talking today. And I'm just so thankful for all of you and your participation in this program. And it's such an important aspect of our program that we're talking about today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for bringing that up as a subject and bringing him up. You know, he created us in our image, in his image, rather. He created us in his image. And I think of it as a lot of different ways you could take that. He probably created us to be physically in his image, but he also created us to be spiritually and to be faithfully in his image, because he taught us that when he was he started when he was a boy, teaching people things about God and teaching things about how we should be relate to each other and how we should move forward in helping each other. And so many things that he taught us. He taught us how to pray. And he said, ask and you shall receive. He created everything we have. Excuse me. He created the earth. He created the universe. And he created each of us. And it's just such a tremendous, I have such tremendous respect for God. And I have tried to teach my children that also. It hasn't taken on all of my children, and I'll be honest with you about that. But you know, when they were younger, they just kind of looked at it and maybe laughed a little bit about it. But as they grew older, they learned also the importance of praying to God and to asking Him for blessings, and to not only bless them but to bless the families and bless other people. Because that's what he wants us to do also, is to bless other people and to be a blessing, like Country Boy says, and to love everyone unconditionally like Jesus loved us, because he did love us and he does love us unconditionally, and he will continue to love us unconditionally until he comes back. He gave us his Holy Spirit to help us and to protect us and to guide us, and he gave us his Holy Word to follow and to learn from it and to show other people what it's all about and to teach other people, and in his faith, he says, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And say, mountain move, and it'll move. Well, those are some things that he was teaching people about all the time. And he gave us salvation in our lives, and he gave us forgiveness of our sins. He died for us for that. And he taught us that we could be resurrected because he came back. Because his father brought him back, and after he died, and so just so many things that come to my mind as you're all talking about. I think that he said that love is one of the most important things that we can have and we can give away, and because he gives us so much love and he loves us unconditionally, and I say that to my children all the time. I love you unconditionally. Because I do. Anything that they have in their life that goes wrong or anything that they need help with, I say, okay, well, let's work together and fix it, whatever the problem is. And because I love you unconditionally.
And amen.
That's just some of the thoughts that I had as you all were talking. Thank you, Mary, for having this program.
We're continuing it on Wednesday.
Good.
We're going to talk more about the lasting effect. I mean, really, if you look at it, there has been no person that's lived, died, very little evidence that we still honor and talk about to this day. And this is thousands of years.
Yep.
I mean, we've talked, we talk about, you know, Egyptians and the pharaohs and, you know, Roman empires and, but do we all really remember what they've said? No, not really. We may remember a quote here and there, but one person and all the words he has said, we remember so many of them. And not to mention standing up for his beliefs and what he was taught. You know, and the one part that, you know, I always look at a lot and I use it as a core value for me is he was given the chance to deny who he was. He was given a chance to save his life.
Yep.
He was given a chance to denounce everything.
Yep.
But, and I kind of compare him to President Kennedy in this way, and I'll explain that in a minute, but he never wavered. He stayed true to who he was. You know, a lot of ways Kennedy was similar. He knew he was going to die the day he died. If you're not speaking, can you please put on mute? Somebody has a really loud background and it's hard to hear. You know, he had nightmares before the shooting. His wife begged him to put a bulletproof top on. He refused. He says, when it's my time, it's my time. This is what's supposed to happen. But when he, before he even became president, he was Catholic. In all of history of the United States, we have never had a Catholic president. People begged him to change his religion or at least denounce it in the sense to be something else. And he refused because that's who I am. He stood behind his convictions even though the end happened how it did. And that's why it was so important to teach our children to stand up for what they believe in. For us to follow that example and stand up for what's right.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen. Yep.
Not to be silenced just because you may not agree with the status quo.
Yep.
As long as what you believe in is morally right. And because we have a lot of people that talk and stand up for what they believe in, and that's how we get cults and we get dictators and bad people. But when you know deep down in your heart, in your gut, that what you're believing in is right, when it will affect and change somebody else for the better. It's not a power struggle for yourself.
Yep.
Mary?
Yes, ma'am.
Can
yes,
I ask
ma'am.
To you what you were saying?
It's so true, Mary. It is.
Mary, a revolutionary. I like that.
I built a career on it.
The
yeah,
truth will set
it.
You free. The truth
some
will
people,
set you free.
Some people hide behind the truth. Some people think that they define their truth differently than what is actually. You can't hide behind the truth. The truth will always be free. It don't need your help. You can lie all you want. The truth will always come out.
Yep.
That's what some people do. They hide behind words. It's clear people hide behind words saying that it's okay to enslave people. It's okay to take and take. And they believe that truly. They will take it to their grave. But it's not okay. So the history has shown what it has done to so many different religions and so many different background of nationality. So God is saying that we all is one. So people have a way of thinking. He gives you your own belief, your own thinking. This is what people have, a free will. The free will is you accepting things for the truth. It's not the free will for you to banalize and hurt other people because of your own belief of your own truth, because that's not true.
And
if you read through history, you have seen a lot of people have been questioned on their truth and their belief. So Mary did good on this show here. This is a good show.
Thank you. You know, the one thing that I've learned about the truth, the truth will never change.
Never will.
The base of the truth, it's all going to be a little different based on the eye of the beholder. You know, it's like a car accident. Depending on your viewpoint or your beliefs, the color of the car may be different.
Yep.
But the core value of that truth will always stay the same, no matter what.
Yep.
True.
Absolutely.
And following the truth and what you believe in is key. And I know it's hard to not falter, not waver in diversity. You know, when I started my business, I went against every status norm there was when it came to dealing with autistic kids and autistic individuals. I got a lot of slack. I was harassed nonstop about it because I didn't follow what I was told that I was supposed to do.
You went against the grain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh yeah.
You say I'm not going to play this political elite game.
No. But
hey, country boy.
Country boy left, Derek.
Who's still on?
Bob's still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still on, Derek. Good to hear your voice. We had a nice conversation this morning. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mary. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
We talked about relationships and how we're going to work together and how Derek is going to work with you and so forth. Some of the other things. And it was a good conversation. I'm going to send you a text later on, Mary, and I'll outline some of the things that we're going to be doing, and how we're all going to work together. You know, so the foundation of this program has opened up my eyes for some of the things that I want to put in the text. And some additional things, because I did put a bunch of things in a text already, but I haven't sent it to you yet. But anyway, this is one of the main pillars of the Hope Collection is a faith-based programs. So it's very appropriate to what we're trying to do to help people and to help others. So. Thank you, Mary, again for doing this.
I enjoy it every day.
I can
every
tell.
Day that I can make a difference and have somebody speak up. Hey, what's that mean, by the way?
You can tell you enjoy it.
A little bit there. All right.
Hey, you know what?
They say you put on people's shoulders when you speak the truth.
Yeah. You know, God had a sense of humor too, because He made us all different and gave us all different skills and so forth. So He had a sense of humor also, and He didn't make us all exactly the same. You know.
You know, the sense of humor is that I was made. You know, I'm got the mouth to go with it.
Yep.
Hey, I had the nickname Diesel growing up because the mouth never stopped running.
I bet you did, Mary. I bet that you made a lot of people mad like I do. You know?
No.
I tell people quick, I know my history, so don't come to me with all that other stuff. I give you a chance to listen to your stuff because it's entertaining, because I've been entertained for a long time. People are going to always give you entertainment. But when they find out
boy,
that you take that.
Hey, country boy, can I call you after the radio show?
The country's not on.
Off.
He dropped off. Derek.
Country boy gone?
Yeah, he's helping his son do something.
Oh, okay. Well,
he,
you know
he
that man.
He's
awake. He's not. He's moving.
He said his few important words. He said his few important words, and then he moved on.
But he leave the stain there. That's a good thing. You leave it there. You know what I mean? You get people thinking. That's what you do. That's the key.
Right.
You always have people go inside their self-conscious and think. You have to see things in a different way, because the way that we would talk, I'm just going to keep it real on the radio station. I was born in a family with different nationalities.
Go ahead.
And there are Caucasians in my family. There are Mexicans in my family. There is Indians in my family. And when I tell folks, it's beautiful when you grow up in a different wreath of color. Then you have it already prepared you for society to be around
to be
people
around
have their
people
own opinion. So it really helped me. It prepared me on people's difference of opinions and their religions and their cultures and what they believe in, what they would take to the grave with them. And so it prepared me when I was young. That's why when I was been around a lot of people, I always spoke what I feel, not to disrespect people, but to give people a clear understanding that I don't think like you, act like you do, and I respect your belief, but respect mine as I respect yours. My belief is to give you the respect and the love and the admiration you deserve. I want the same thing. That
you
is
know,
what
Jesus,
love is.
Jesus was a God of inclusion. He wanted to include everybody, and he did not exclude anyone. No matter what their situation was, whether they were sinners or whatever they were, he included all of us, and so we try to do that in the Hope Collection. Also, we try to include. We don't exclude anyone. We try to include everyone.
That's why I love the Hope. That's why I love the Hope, because it everybody different background comes in that brings to the table, and that what makes it fulfilling for you to know what a poor person going through, and you've never been poor, but you have experienced the loss of losing things,
right?
It could bring you more closer to people, because people can trust you more. They can say, well, he understands where I'm coming from. He can help me by teaching me how to get out of that and rely on God and rely on my gift so that I can. So this Hope is about showing you that the love is already there. You just have to believe in yourself. And we're going to help you with through different resources. We're going to help you through different places where we can help you become the person that you wanted to be, that financial person that could help your community, help your family. It doesn't matter where
image.
You came from.
Right.
Or your religion. Or you've been in jail or prison. It makes it very clear. Because some people, organization won't even touch people who come out of prison. And for Hope to do that, you got programs here in Atlanta. It's stuck on people who've been in prison, won't give them a second chance. But to have an organization that says, look, all we care about is giving you the love that you learn how to love yourself, then you can come and do other things. We're not questioning who you are. We're not looking at your color. We're looking at your heart. We're looking at what your needs are. And so who in their right mind would want to be with an organization that gives that much love and that much attention to you?
Amen. It's all right.
So,
Mary, thank you. It's been a great show.
We are out of time for today.
Yep.
Join us tomorrow at 9 Eastern. We are launching a new show, and it'll be Derek's first time co-hosting a show. We are going to talk about special needs. We're going to talk about autism, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to talk about what it is, how it affects everybody, not just that individual, and how things
yep.
you say and do affect others, especially
yep.
when you have things to say and they don't always come out the right way and how they're interpreted. We're going to break everything down for you. Oh, it had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with you, Bob. It was literally
I'm laughing because it relates to me.
It relates to him. That's why I say he felt that.
No, it had nothing to do with that.
God gave me a gift to read people's personality.
Well, no, we were at the grocery store last Wednesday, and my son had a meltdown. He got overwhelmed by the amount of noise and stuff in the grocery store. And we had this couple mm-hmm. behind us making smart comments about him being a spoiled rotten little brat.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter got really upset because she doesn't understand why people in the grocery store talk about them like they're not there, even though they're right there.
Yep.
Wow. That's sad.
It is. Everybody's got an opinion.
She learns well from her mom.
Unfortunately, yes.
Mary is, you know what, as an African American, Mary is a bad chick.
Oh, man.
We say the filter's busted sometimes.
Oh, that was y'all saying?
Well,
we saying the same thing.
I got to get out of here.
Adios, Derek. Have fun.
All right, call me later, okay?
Yep, call me later. So join us tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And we're going to start our series about autism. Join us at noon tomorrow. It is Travel Tuesday with Rick Reese and Ron Clayton, the president of the Hope Collection. And then on Wednesday, we're going to continue the discussion. We're going to talk about how this man has a lasting legacy, and what he did is talked about to this day, and how what we do can have that same effect, and how standing up for what we believe in can help make things a better world, which is his whole purpose. So have a good day. See you back here tomorrow morning. Bye
for
now.
God bless you all.
God bless you too.
Bye.